Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? My name is
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show. My name is Stephen Knight, and welcome again to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. We have a great show lineup for you, so I definitely want to thank you all for joining us tonight. Tonight we'll be talking to someone who has been very influential in my music career. He is the singer, songwriter, and producer behind my 2009 EP entitled Nightlife. If you hear our listening track, that's a snippet from that song. Unfortunately, Ms. Parker and Janelle will not be on tonight, as they are both celebrating their birthday. We definitely want to give them a big birthday shout out and hope that they have a great weekend. But we are in for a treat because Aaron, who does Ron's Perspective, he will be co-hosting with me, so definitely want to thank him for taking time to fill in for us. We'll also be covering the latest in entertainment news, sports, movie reviews, and of course music. Then we'll be discussing our question of the day. As always, we want you to be part of the conversation, so remember to call us at 718-664-6543. But first, Aaron, what's up with you, man?
Hey, Steven. How's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am great, man. You know, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Well, listen, I want to thank you for filling in. I know it's kind of last minute, but I thank you for taking the time out of your schedule.
How was your week? Well, first of all, Stephen, thank you, man. I am honored to be filling in for the lovely and talented Miss Parker. Happy birthday,
shout out. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm everything's good, man. All is well.
That's real good. Miss Parker, she had a birthday party last night at this club here in Atlanta called Europe, and we had a great time. And so I definitely hope she's in New York this weekend, so I definitely hope she has a great time. And to Janera, who I saw earlier today, she'll be celebrating a birthday as well.
Happy birthday, Janera, also. Yes, happy birthday. Big up.
Well, as you know, at the Stephen Knight Show, our mission is to bring you the latest in entertainment news, sports, interviews, fashion, and, of course, music. We want the show to be very interactive. We want to hear from you.
So make sure to like us on Facebook, The Stephen Knight Show, and also follow us on Twitter, Stephen Knight Show, S-H-O, not S-H-O-W, Stephen Knight Show, S-H-O. Each Friday, we will post a question of the day that will be discussed on the show, and want to know your opinions about that and also other topics that are discussed each week on the show.
Well, today our question today is, do you feel that all unmarried men should get a paternity test if they are told that they are having a baby, regardless of the relationship with the mother? What do you think about that one? What do you think about that?
Steven, man, oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, man. Actually, I'm on the fence. Okay. Fellas, if you feel that it's your baby, you know it's your baby, you have no doubt in your mind, you love this child, you love your girl, don't waste your money or time getting a DNA test. Just go
with it. No more
appointments. Yeah. Love the child, you know. Come on. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
But if your so-called baby's mama, you know, she's known for, let's say, you know, maybe having three or four, you know, people at one time, or, you know, or she's, you know, known for being promiscuous, let's say, then yes, definitely DNA test is needed. And fellas, get the test right when the child is born. Do not wait and wait and wait. Yes.
I agree. Take care of that up front. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Well, I'm curious to hear what our listeners would think, so make sure you go on Facebook and Twitter and let us know what you think, and we'll be right back.
Hype Magazine, a magazine that gives you all kinds of flavor for your entertainment needs. You can purchase Hype Magazine in all major stores, as well as getting it digitally at www.gethypeonline.com. Get your ad in Hype Magazine now and subscribe by calling 1-301-579-HYPE. That's 1-301-579-HYPE-4973. This is brought to you by EOTM Radio and Media.
For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the Steve and I Show here on EOTM Radio. Oh, and by the way, I want to give a congratulations to EOTM. They recently celebrated their 4-year anniversary, so I'm definitely glad to be part of the team and to watch this rise, continue to rise with success. Aaron is stepping in for Ms. Parker, who is out celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday, Ms. Parker. Aaron, entertainment news, man. It is definitely interesting week in entertainment. First, Charlie Sheen. What's going on with that, man?
Man, I am so Team Charlie Sheen right now. Charlie Sheen, yes. Charlie is funny. Actually, I didn't even care about the show 2.5 Men. I mean, honestly, I didn't watch it. It wasn't my cup of tea. Did not interest me at all. Now that I've really, now that I've seen all these antics and things with Charlie Sheen, I actually wanted to watch the reruns of the show. I think he is hilarious. Great TV. Yeah. He's hilarious. Absolutely.
Well, I know that, he obviously he's estranged from his wife. The show got canceled. He checked himself out of rehab. Now he's going through a custody battle with his estranged wife. He's been doing a series of what people have considered to be erratic interviews, basically just going in on CBS and everything, really. I won't be surprised if they do a reality show based on this. I will not be surprised. Because, everyone has their eyes on him right now. He didn't have Twitter until recently. He opened a Twitter account and within 24 hours had over a million people following him. And they said to get a world record, the highest in a short amount of time. But we hope that he gets better and that, he's not self-destructive because you said, I know we were talking about it earlier, you think that he's in covering up pain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, I feel like he's just acting out because he's in pain. I mean, this man's been, he's been through some marriages that have, that have not ended well. Well, I guess marriages that end, they're not well.
Right.
But, dude has so many little young children, and there's probably issues with the ex-wives and custody and, this and that. So definitely, Charlie, man, praying for you, man, praying for your family, and I hope that, everything works out. But, yeah, Team Charlie Sheen all day. Team Charlie.
Yeah, a lot of people are enjoying him. Well, Serena Williams, she's had a cast on her leg forever, but they went to remove it finally and found out that she had a blood clot in her lungs. And if anyone knows the name of a blood clot, what it does, it basically suffocates yourself from getting air and you die instantly from it. Luckily, the doctors were able to catch it, and she's being treated for it. She was hoping to play in the French Open, I believe it was. Yeah, the French Open, but I don't know if that will be able to happen. But definitely hope she gets better and heals from that.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you seen the pictures of Bobby Christina?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Bobby Christina, Whitney Houston, and Bobby Brown's daughter, who turns 18, I believe, this weekend. There are pictures of her allegedly snorting cocaine, which she's gone on Twitter and said it's not what it is. It's basically an ex-boyfriend of hers who basically set her up and has these pictures leaked out. She saw it with the National Enquirer. And so she's on the defense about that. She's saying it's not what it is. She has a strong hand on her shoulder. She said her mom confronted her to the max she said, and she said, but she appreciates that. You know, she thanks God for her family and for her mother and for people who support her. What do you think?
I think, first of all, if this was, you know, a big misunderstanding or a joke, a prank, whatever, I first think that Bobby Christina needs to kind of, you know, get these crazy ex-boyfriends or people that are in her life out of her life. Second of all, also with Bobby Chris, her parents, you know, are recovering, you know, substance abuse, you know, addicts or what have you. And I just think that, that her doing that isn't healthy for her parents. But also big ups to Whitney, though, for, like, you know, stepping in there, being a mother and concerned mother. And it's like, okay, you're not going to go down this road. I'm not having it. You're not going to be like these Lindsay Lohans and all these other little people that's going down there. I'm not having it. No, ma'am. Yeah. Whitney Houston put the mama down. Yes, she did.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's because that's how her mother was her, you know. And ultimately, that's what helped her get clean, her mother confronting her. And, you know, so I definitely hope it's not what it seems to be. We're all praying for her. You know, I know it could be difficult growing up in the spotlight. So,
Stephen, Bobby Christina knows better. At the end of the day, she knows better. Whether it's a joke or not, she knows better. That was not funny. It was kind of insensitive to her mother and her father. And she just has to, you know, just, she's young. You know, she's young.
Yeah.
She's going to make a mistake.
Right.
She'll be fine.
All right, well, Ludacris, you know, he has a restaurant here in Atlanta called Straight, and it failed its health inspection and in January. I've been there before, and that's a nice spot, but it got a 67 out of 100. They said the food wasn't stored. It was inadequate. It wasn't stored adequately. Unsanitary. The food was not neutered and marked properly. And Ludacris, of course, released a statement that was very disappointed by the score. A lot of the codes have changed, so that, you know, made the score worse than what it was. And he's guaranteed that when they come back and do it, it would pass. And he was right. They actually went back and did the test this week, and he got a 98. So back in, everything's good to go. So big up to Luda.
Get straight, Luda. Get it straight. Luda.
Keep it straight.
Get it straight, buddy. Come on.
Now, they're saying Christina Aguilera is out of control. She was arrested, her and her boyfriend. She's 30, he's 25. It's not big of a big gap there. But last week when they were arrested, he was got a DUI, and she was drunk in public. They said she couldn't drive herself home, so they had to take her in. And then they're associating this with the whole Super Bowl national anthem mix-up. It's the same, she's out of control. What do you think about that?
Man, this is it reeks of desperate publicity stunt. This is sad. Honestly, this is just it's pathetic, man. I mean, is this what it takes now to like be noticed now? You have to do just kind of crazy stuff that, I mean, this isn't even her MO. Christina Aguilera, come on, this isn't even you. I mean, Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, they're good at that kind of thing. It makes, you know, headlines and international news. With Christina Aguilera doing that, it's like, oh, okay. Okay. I mean,
you know,
kind of like yawn, boring. Okay, all right.
Well, Christina, you know, one thing about the girl can sing, if you saw on the Grammy, she killed that Aretha Franklin song. But apparently NBC is not too affected by her recent troubles. They recently hired her for a new show they have coming out in April 26th called The Voice, and she's going to be a judge on that show. So I hope that this kind of helps her career and gets her back, you know, where she needs to be or whatever.
So what's
something
stuff?
I'm extremely excited about, Celebrity Apprentice. They have NeNe Leakes, Star Jones, Dionne Warwick, Migos, Cassidy, and Little John, a whole lot of people. Are you excited about this?
Oh, yeah. This is good train wreck TV. This is hot. big up to Donald Trump, man. Donald,
yeah,
he did it. Mr. Trump, yes.
He did do it.
This is gonna be my TV's always TiVo'd for this series because I'm gonna get punished anyway. I'm gonna get punished anyway, but I just can feel the drama that's gonna be displayed on this show. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. I mean, you can already see with the little excerpts that they've been playing. Yeah, that it's gonna be good. And NeNe Leakes, I mean, she's taking the drama from Atlanta, and she's bringing it to New York.
She's bringing it to New York. Well, yeah, we'll be watching that. We'll be talking about that each week. You know, the Oscars were Sunday, and I know Chike's on the line to discuss that. Chike, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here. How we doing?
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great, man.
I'm good. I can't complain.
Hey, Aaron, what's going on?
All is well, Chike, man. What about yourself?
I'm great. Well, as you know,
what's going on at Oscars?
Yeah, man. It kind of came out like I predicted. Mm-hmm. True Grit didn't win anything, although I was, hoping that they did, but they didn't win anything. But I predicted, the King's Speech, ran away with it.
Right.
Yeah, and I also predict Natalie Portman, and I also predicted Melissa Leo from The Fighter and Christian Bale. So, I was pretty on point.
You were on point. And were you surprised by any of the winners or any of the people who lost? Were you surprised by anything like that?
Not so much for the mainstream stuff, but the smaller stuff that doesn't get televised. Like, who knew the Wolfman won for best makeup? And Toy Story always walks away with like the best song or the best animation. Type of stuff.
Yeah.
And some of those key awards happen off of camera, like the more important stuff. And what people don't really realize is that it's vital for certain movie houses to continue to make movies. Like, they strive to win awards so that they can renew their contracts. This is like the proving to the company heads, like, yeah, we can do it. So sometimes an award is the definitive line if you're going to continue working or not. And a lot of people don't understand that. So that's why these people dig and fight to win these awards, because it's a dog-eat-dog world in Hollywood. If you don't make it, you don't deliver, you get cut.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was pretty pleased with the movies that won and the actors that won the awards. I was pretty pleased.
Have you seen any movies recently?
Yeah, I just saw Big Mama number 3 and The Unknown.
How was Big Mama?
It was good, but I'm a firm believer that Martin has not been the same since he had that nervous breakdown. Remember that nervous breakdown
he
had?
Oh yeah, when he was running with all the clothes on. And 100 degree weather. Yeah,
exactly. I don't think Martin ever came back from that, not fully, and he hasn't been delivering the funny like he used to. I mean, Big Mama was funny, but to me, it was funny on DVD at home, not funny for the theater.
Big Mama should have stopped at the first one. Okay, maybe the second one, but he didn't need to do a third Big Mama.
Exactly. The second one was cool. We should have ended it there. But he's on the money train. It's very family oriented. It's designed for the whole family to go to it. But I need the old Martin. I need the Martin with the little risque, jokes and stuff in it. Maybe even go for another Bad Boy. Maybe, I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Well, I didn't see the movie, but I know the storyline is he with his son now, and his son is going under disguise as well or something.
Exactly. They're basically trying to introduce Big Mama to a younger demographic. So now if they're going to continue it on from here, I guess the son could pick it up if they wanted to and then continue on with it. To me, it's a dead horse. But Unknown with Liam Neeson.
Unknown.
Hot movie. If you like Taken, then you'll like this one. It's basically the same format. And I honestly think after this one, he needs to stop with this genre of movies. He needs to move on to something else. He killed it twice. And now he can move on. But it was good. It's a good movie. It's a good movie to see actually in the theater because of the action. So Liam Neeson always delivers.
Are there any movies coming out soon that you anticipate?
Yeah, I keep hearing the buzz about this Cross Jumping the Broom movie. I'm doing my investigation on it now, and it's coming out, when is it, like the spring?
Angela Bassett, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm looking out for that. I'm looking out for Battlefield Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking out for that. And I'm also looking out for another movie. It's a foreign title, it's independent, and it's called I Saw the Devil.
Okay.
And it's basically about, it's a murder mystery, and it's about a man who basically goes psychotic and starts murdering people. But it's supposed to be really gritty and really raw. You know, those are the kind of movies I love.
Yeah,
you give me give me an independent any day. You know, I'm
there. You love independent films.
Oh, love them.
Okay. Well, listen, we definitely thank you again for putting us on game when it comes to these movies.
No doubt.
Look forward to talking to you next week.
No doubt.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, take it easy.
Thanks, Chica.
Well, Aaron, sports. What's going on?
Oh man! First of all,
a lot, right?
If anyone saw the game last night with the Magic and the Heat, please hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, either or.
Mm-hmm.
That game, Stephen, was very. It was crazy. The Heat had a 24-point lead in the first half. I mean,
I read about that today.
Yeah, it was like they were on cruise control. It was going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
The game was going to be over. They lost the game.
By
3 points.
They
lost the game.
It seems to be the trend. I was watching the game they played the Bulls the other night. I mean, it's just like it was a sloppy game. It was a good game. It was a good game, but it was sloppy, I thought. What do you think is going on with the Heat?
It seems to me a couple of things. Okay. I think that their defense is not good. They don't have really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So what they hope to do is, I guess, blow teams out and intimidate teams. Blow teams out offensively, or just intimidate teams. You know, but they have to work on their defense, and then also Mario Chalmers. His jump shot that actually hurt them. I mean, he missed so many open jump shots.
They talked about
night.
That.
So many open jump shots. And if he could just have made half of the ones that he missed, they would have won the game. I mean, that kind of hurt them. And also, defensively, Mario, he's not a horrible defensive player, but, he led – Jameer Nelson just go right through him time after time after time.
I hope they get together because
they have to.
I know it takes time for everyone, for the team to mesh as a new team, you know, but people are expecting a little bit more than this. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are expecting championship. I mean, they're expecting Lakers Heat finals.
That's what people
are expecting. I don't see it. I don't see how they're playing right now. I don't see the Heat going to the finals. I don't see
either, because they're losing. They're losing left and right.
Yeah.
And it's always by a few points, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's all about a few points.
Yes.
I want to talk about something. Did you hear about the student, the basketball player from BYU being dismissed for having premarital sex?
I did, yes.
Basically, Brandon Davies, he's the I believe he's the center for the team, one of the star players for the team. He's basically let go for having premarital sex with his girlfriend. Apparently at the school, with pregnant teens being rewarded for promiscuity and fame and fact checks, you know, you see all on TV all the time. This BYU is standing by a controversial decision to kick the standout center, Brandon, off the basketball team. They confessed in a conversation with the team. He had a meeting that he broke that code and that he had sex, and so they've kicked him off the team. You said they were number three. Are they number three in their division or something?
They're actually ranked number three in the country.
In the country. He kicked off, and obviously the fans are heated. Most of them are heated because I believe the last game they lost to, like, New Mexico, which is, like,
they lost,
Yeah, it's not good at all. But what the coach said was that everybody who comes to BYU, every student, if they are an athlete or not, they make a commitment when they come. And some of the code that forbids use of alcohol, coffee, and requires students to be honest and attend church regularly. He said a lot of people are trying to judge this. Is this right or is this wrong? But it's a commitment they make. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about the commitment. What do you think about that?
Well, first, I would just like to give big ups to his teammates because they actually support him. They are he is their brother. They're actually standing strong with him. But actually, I feel okay. First of all, we have to give Brandon Davies a lot of credit for actually being honest.
Seriously,
he could have lied.
I agree.
And just like I'm sure there are plenty, and let's be real, America, let's be honest. He is not the only player on that team or on their football team or on their baseball team or track team or what have you that's having premarital sex. He's not the only one. Now,
I mean, do you think it's realistic for the team to expect people that age when you're in college to – that's what people are losing their virginity. To expect people to not have sex or do those things. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's realistic.
You know, BYU is a private institution, so of course that they can have their rules and regulations how they see fit, and nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually agree, Stephen, with you. It's not realistic, and I just think that it's not fair that you actually kick the man off the team because he has sex. If anything,
why don't you contemplating kicking him out of the school.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's not helping. That is not helping anything. That's not helping anything. If you want to help this young man, get him some, like, you know, have him some, like, counseling or something. Let him, you know, talk. You know, we don't, you know, I'm not saying with Brandon Davies per se, but with anyone, you know, maybe there's, like, an issue, an underlying issue with him having sex. You don't know this young man could have, we don't know where he came from, what happened to him in his life. But to just throw him away, you know, that doesn't sit well with me at all.
Yeah,
that,
I agree.
That to me is not, you know, God-like or Christ-like.
Yeah.
You know, that's not cool to me. Yeah.
Well, he's a sophomore this year, so hopefully, you know, I know we were talking about this earlier, and you said that you think that he'll be able to go to another school and hopefully be able to be successful in his career. Because this could be really
Absolutely. Or maybe this, you know, maybe he's good enough to actually, you know, maybe go to the next level and go into the draft. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I'm praying for him and his family because I personally don't think that you just drop a person, not only off the team, but out of school total. I mean, that's just not cool to me, but we'll see what happens.
Any exciting games coming up this weekend?
Let's see. Actually, you know that it's nearing the end of the NCAA, you know, men's basketball regular season. So pretty much there's actually conference tournaments going on now for the smaller conferences, and then the larger conferences they'll have their conference tournaments starting next week. So it's coming down to the wire.
All right. Yeah. Well, Janera is not here tonight. She celebrated a birthday as well, so happy birthday to her. Budget Shopaholic, she definitely has been updating that. So for all the fashion tips and the discounts, go to budgetshopaholic.com, and we'll be right back.
While you're sitting there on the couch, wondering what you're going to do today, grab that remote and turn your TV to MTV, your most popular way to stay on top of all music, shows, news, and movies. MTV is greatly known for their highly viewed shows, such as MTV Cribs, Jersey Shore, The Grudge, 16 and Pregnant, Made, My Life is Liz, and many, many more. MTV also gives you the option to check out video premieres on your favorite artists, such as Trey Songz, Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne, and many more artists of your choice. Stay connected with MTV through your social media networks. Twitter, follow MTV. Facebook, www.facebook.com/MTV. MySpace, www.myspace.com/MTV. Also by MTV newsletters and podcasts. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I'm your host, Stephen Knight, and A-Ron is filling in for Miss Parker. Definitely want to thank him again. Remember to go on Facebook and Twitter and like us. Facebook, The Stephen Knight Show. Twitter, Stephen Knight Show, S-H-O. Well, I'm very excited to introduce our guest tonight. In many ways, he's helped open many doors for me as an artist by writing and producing my 2009 EP entitled Nightlife. I had moved to Atlanta in 2007 to really pursue music, and it wasn't until 2008 that I had met someone talented enough to help me create a professional sound that would represent where I was at that point musically. The song created for me opened many doors for me, and I'm in great debt to him for that. Terrell King is a German-born, now Atlanta-based artist, out to prove that Christian music is hotter than ever. The singer-songwriter-producer is sure to blaze the world with his unique voice, masterful writing skills. The boy can write a song, y'all. Having already worked with some of the best in the business, providing background vocals, singing, songwriting, and vocal production, Terrell King plans to introduce Christian market to a new idea of artistry. The self-professed army brat has been all around the world with a variety of musical influences to prove it. Terrell's music encompasses everything from pop to hip-hop, from traditional gospel to electronica. He recently released his mixtape entitled The Reheat. That is a must listen. I love it. Please help me welcome a homie, Terrell King. What's
Yo.
Up, Terrell? How you doing,
good, man?
How are you doing? You good?
I'm good. I'm good, sir. How are y'all?
We're good. Let me tell you, and I'll tell you this before, and you tell me, don't go into detail about all this, but you have been very influential in my music because the songs that we did together opened a lot of doors for me. I was telling you that someone from overseas contacted me, please let me buy this record. Please let me play this on my radio station. Please let me, you know, I got my distribution deal based on a song that we did together, that you wrote for me.
That's crazy.
So
that's crazy. I'm humble, dude. I was happy to be a part, so.
I'm telling you, I have to thank you for that. I have to thank you for Nightlife. Everyone loves it. It's our theme song for the show. Everyone loves that song, Trying. I mean, I'm telling you. So I definitely have to thank you for that. Okay?
No problem.
So,
no problem.
You can deal with
that. What's going on with y'all?
All is good. Yeah.
Well, I know that you're an army brat, born in Germany. What age did you move to Atlanta?
I came here in high school. So I came here in like the 11th grade. That was like 2002.
Okay.
Like that. So, ever since. I live in Atlanta. It's become like my second home. So, this is
Had you lived anywhere else before moving to Atlanta?
Yeah, I moved here from Florida. Before then, I was in Texas, Germany, and a couple other places. Atlanta is just like the. It's kind of like a central ground. My family is really from the South. My parents are from Alabama, so I'm a Southern boy at heart.
Southern boy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at what age did you know that music was something that you wanted to do, and what steps did you take to pursue your dreams, really?
I can't really pinpoint, like, at a certain age.
Did you always know? Or?
Studying theater. I was really in theater, art school, like all through middle school and high school. And when I got to college, I kind of just got into music really, really heavy. So I was always interested in it, and I guess it just morphed into that being like my priority later on.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I know back in 2008, I was featured in... online magazine,
Right.
And I remember there was an ad above mine, and it was you. And so the way that Terrell and I met, I actually had put out an ad on Craigslist seeking a producer to work with. And I got some of everything, you know. I don't even go through that. But I did get an email from you. I'm telling you, send it to these people's studios, listen to their music, try and act like you like it, you know. Anyway. But
right,
I got an
right.
email from you, and I said, Terrell King, I know that name. And then I went to your website, and I heard the music. I was like, okay, yeah, this has to go down. And then, you know, when we met, it turned out, because, you know, my homeboy from Richmond, where I'm from, he had been in Atlanta a couple months
right.
prior, and he was working on a project. He told me he was in Atlanta working on a project, and here I am kind of hating on the low because I was working on the project. And so I get here, and while I was listening to the songs, I said, that sounds like something Terrell did. So remember
that's
I asked you about it, and you were like, yeah, he was just there. So yeah, it's a small world. It's a small world.
It
but
is, dude. It's really small.
And I remember you had already one thing I liked about you is that you could tell that you had listened to my voice because the first song that we did, which was Trying, you played it for me. I remember I just got a big smile on my face like, oh, yeah, this dude is serious. This dude is serious. Well, obviously you're still very
Terrell.
Talented this song. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No,
Terrell, I just I actually wanted to ask you If you could work with three people, like, you know, you're like, you know, top three artists, who would they be?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, everyone knows I'm like the biggest Brandy fan ever in life.
Yes, you are. Okay.
Big up to Brandy. Big up to Brandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brandy.
I would love to work with her.
All right.
I would love to work with Kirk Franklin. He's like one of my biggest inspirations as well. There's a band here from Atlanta, Family Five, like a rock band, and I really would love to, like, you know, do some collaboration stuff with them. So yeah.
Wait, all right.
That was a good question.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was a good question. I like that question. I was like, why not take that question? Well, you've written music all different kind of genre, and I'm obviously very talented. What was the deciding factor for you to actually do Christian music? Because I remember when I heard the first mixtape after we had met,
right.
I was letting someone hear it, and they didn't even know it was Christian music. Because I guess, you know, you listen to tracks, and, you know, it doesn't sound like your old Southern grandmas,
right.
you know,
yeah.
Amazing Grace.
Right.
So what made you decide to stick with that genre?
Yo, it's crazy. People ask me that all the time, and I don't really have, like, a defined answer for that. Like, music has always been, like, a part of my life, so when I started doing the whole recording artist thing, whatever it turned into, it just naturally was Christian music, you know what I mean? And I love writing other stuff, and I feel that art is an expression of different, you know, facets of life.
Absolutely.
But just for me,
absolutely.
Like, whenever I write stuff myself, it just up to this point has turned out to be, you know, in Christian vein, and I don't all the time like to, like, list it as gospel, just because, you know, I don't really sit down and try to write a gospel song. Like,
it just kind of comes out the way it comes out.
So, where I'm at right now artistically is labeled as Christian music, and I'm cool with that. I would love making the image of gospel music a little bit more hip. And, up to date. You know, and, like,
I'm telling you, you can put it in your car and listen to it, and you would never know that you're praising the Lord. I'm telling you. But when you listen to the lyrics, you know what I'm saying, that you're like, oh, okay. Because, you know, one of my favorite songs by you is the duet you have with Ametria called Last Chance.
Yeah,
that's on your new project. I love that song. I love this song, but it could be a love song. But what I got from it is a love song.
Right, as some people think that it is. And I think, you know, love is of God, so whatever you kind of interpret that to be, I was talking about God, but I'm sure, you know, someone could sing that at their wedding or, you know,
they
something
could.
Like that.
It's
so
a beautiful song.
I just want to deliver positive music. So.
I don't know if they can sing it like y'all, but they can sing. They can try.
I'm sure they can.
Well, who are some of your influences? Obviously, we know you love Kirk Franklin and Brandy, but who are some of your other? What do you think helped you? Because your sound is unique, I think. What do you think helped you originate that or create that for yourself?
I'm like a student of songwriters and vocal producers. So, like, when a lot of people are fans of the actual vocalists, I'm, like, fans of the people behind the scenes. So I love LaShawn Daniels. He's one of Dark Child's writers.
Okay.
I love Eric Dawkins, Makita, all the people from The Clutch here in Atlanta. Like, I just grew up kind of listening and studying what they were doing. Brian Michael Cox.
Cox.
So, you know, I was a student of what they did production-wise, and so I kind of modeled what I do after that. So I would give more credit than, like, singers and other people.
Okay. I guess.
Yeah, that's where I learned from. So.
Yeah. Well, you recently released your mixtape, which I had the love, The Reheat. What was the inspiration around that?
Well, I was with a label a couple years back. That deal kind of fell through, you know, as deals sometimes do.
That happens,
business. That's the business. Earlier last year, and I kind of dropped off the scene for a minute as an artist.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, I wasn't in a hole. I was still working.
Right.
But I wasn't really visible. So I wanted to release something early this year that was just kind of like reheating stuff that was just kind of like putting me back on people's minds and just kind of letting people know where I was artistically right now, like
we actually got the
concept because we took some of the songs from my EP earlier in
2009
and we kind of just reworked them and kind of put some new heat on it. So
what was the first single you released from this project?
I think
you went in on that one.
I think it was Back Pocket Reheat. Yeah.
You addressed all the rumors, all the he said, she said. You went under that song. I like that. Oh, and we'll hear it later on in the playlist. Well, I know you have a concert, a performance tomorrow. What other upcoming projects are you working on currently?
Oh man, I'm still writing for other people. I'm hosting the Songwriters Symposium in Louisiana.
Okay.
This summer, and I'm really excited about that. Just trying to get like a real some new songwriters showcased, and I was really blessed that they would even ask me to come. So, it's a big deal for me. So I'm trying to I'm trying to do more this year, like outside of just being an artist. I feel like God has put like a lot of talents in all of us that we have to explore and use. So I'm trying to be multidimensional, Stephen.
Yeah, I hear that.
I'm trying to get a radio show like you.
You trying to get a radio show? Well, you know, I was performing "Trying," one of the songs you wrote for me off the EP. I was performing it somewhere, and people always ask me this: did you write that song? You know, I held my head down. I wanted to say I wish, but no, I did not. But I'm telling you, you're a great writer, and you can hear it in your songs. That you've done, the songs you've done for me, the songs you've done for Rendell, I was talking about earlier, Del Chamar, that's his name. You're a very talented writer and singer. Where can people find you online if they want to purchase music, if they want to book you, if they want to contact you? Where can they find you?
We're working out everything with the new website and all that soon. So the best place to, like, get all the information right now is Twitter. Like, I update my Twitter every 10 minutes or something.
Yes,
so,
you
so you can always find out what I'm doing, like get links to the mixtape and all that, and it's twitter.com/ Terrell King. Nothing fancy, just my name. So
Terrell King.
So you can find
that's a name that I know we'll be hearing for years to come, definitely.
Oh man, that's you. Thank you so much for the support.
I mean, honestly, and I got to thank you again, you know, for your contribution to my career. I definitely want to thank you for being on our show tonight, and absolutely the best to you, man, with everything you have going on and what the future holds. Thank you for your time.
Awesome, man. Y'all enjoy the rest of your night.
You do the same, man.
Thank you, T. And also for more information about
Terrell King, and where you can download his mixtape, The Reheat, please visit our Facebook page. We will also be featuring some of his music in Stephen's playlist tonight. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Stephen Knight. You listen to the Stephen Knight Show. Aaron filling in for Miss Parker, who's celebrating her birthday this weekend. So happy birthday again to her. Tonight, our question of the day, and we asked earlier, it is, do you feel that all men, unmarried men, should get a paternity test if they are told that they are having a baby on the way, regardless of the relationship with the mother? And I know that you, Aaron, you shared how you felt. What are some of the people on Facebook saying?
Actually, some people are saying, yes, absolutely. DNA tests all day, every day, you know.
Others
are saying same the opposite. They're saying, you know, it shouldn't matter. If you love the child, be with it, you know. You shouldn't have to take a test. So it's 50-50, seems like.
This one girl, she said, with my sons, I wanted them too. I pray every day that we would never have to go through that, but I believe they should. Same with my daughters. I've seen it happen with my family. My stepson was with a girl. She got pregnant. Okay, the hip ways of typing. She got a prego, and he found out that it wasn't his. And the second time around, it was. So in this case, he took a test and he thought it wasn't his, but then they took another test and found it was. Wow.
Yeah. Because actually, I don't know if people still watch the TV show, The Game.
Oh, The Game. Yeah.
I actually watched it last week. I hadn't watched it in weeks, but I watched it back last week. But actually, they actually dealt with an episode where Melanie, I think that's her name. She's married to Derwin. Well, anyway, she snuck to try to get Derwin Jr., which is Derwin's son, from a previous girlfriend to get a DNA test because she felt like the child didn't look like Derwin, and so she got a DNA test done behind the mother and the father's back. Okay, the initial test said that Derwin was not the child's father. Come to find out, Derwin was the child's father. So, it can get messy. It can definitely get messy, especially if there's another person involved, if there's a new girlfriend involved or a new boyfriend or a new wife or what have you. You know, it can get messy.
Well, you know, I like what you said earlier, where that should be taken care of during the pregnancy. You know what I mean? Because the child is not asked to be here. And I believe that because what happens a lot of times, like if you have the child and then the man finds not his child, you know, he might step away from the role of being the father. But why introduce the child to that man? If that's, you know what I'm saying? Take care of all that before the child's here, so the child doesn't have to go through those changes and whatnot. But, yeah, a lot of interesting comments. Let me ask you, do you think that if you got a woman pregnant and say, you know, you thought it was yours and by the time the child is 5 years old, you have reason to believe it's not yours, you take the test, find out it's not yours, would you still continue to father the child?
Absolutely. I mean, that's your son or daughter. I mean,
you raised
that's your child, and that's not fair to the child. That child knows you as daddy. And for you to just, you know, walk away from that child just because of what a piece of paper says, I think is heartless. It's heartless.
Yeah.
It's selfish, and there's no words for it. It's just sick.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I would definitely not walk out of the child's life at all. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree because I know that they're, you know, and I have respect for a lot of times people get joked for doing this, but I have respect for men who they take on that role for a child, because at the end of the day, I believe that a child, you know, they benefit from having, not saying they need, but they benefit from having a father figure in their lives.
Oh,
because
I am the product of a single mother household.
Mm-hmm.
My father was not in my life. I was raised by my mother, and my mother did a great job.
Yes, there was
a big void, though. I mean, definitely, there was a void not having my father around. And, you know, what's interesting is that I actually know who my father is. You know, some people don't even know who their dad is. I know who mine is, and he chose not to be in my life. And that's his choice, and that's something that he'll have to, you know, live with, and he is living with, but that's a whole nother show. But, think about the kids. That's all. Think about the kids, definitely.
I agree, because, you know, with me, I was raised by both parents, my mom and my dad, and they both were great parents, still are great parents. But when I first graduated from college, I was working with youth, and there was, you know, especially I was in a poverty-stricken area, the overwhelming amount of fathers that weren't present in their children's lives, I see it because, you know, I had classmates and stuff growing up who maybe their parents were together and the father wasn't there, but to see just the overwhelming amount of fathers just weren't present in their children's lives, I couldn't get it, because I had a dad who was there for me, who made a lot of sacrifice for me, who took me to basketball practice and baseball practice, football practice, and it was always there. So it's just like, like I said, I don't think it's necessary. Like, obviously, your mother, she did a great job in raising you, but I think it's beneficial if you do have that. You know what I'm saying? It can be beneficial to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because I felt a void. I felt a void in my life growing up because I saw kids like you who had the mom and the dad.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they had both.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I don't have a dad to go to my basketball games. You know.
And
with all due respect to my mom, she barely went to my games. I had to like bribe her and beg her and stuff just to come to my game. Love you, Mom, but that's real talk. So I was actually one of those kids who didn't have either parent really that was there to support me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool, you know, it is what it is, and actually it made me a stronger person. It did.
Yeah.
But it also let me know that once I have a child, I'm gonna love my child unconditionally.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So for my dad who wasn't around, thank you, man. You actually helped me. So appreciate that.
Yeah, that's definitely a topic I think a lot of people relate to, because it's, especially in the African American community, you see so many fathers just aren't there. And I think that, you know, obviously I haven't been through this, but I think that it takes a toll on the father who's not there as well, because he has that guilt. You know what I mean? He lives with that guilt each day, because you can't just act like you don't have a child out there. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But also, Stephen, I think what it is, maybe it's a cycle, because maybe that man didn't have his father, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so he could be like, you know what, my dad wasn't around, and, you know.
Right, and I'm okay.
I'm not going to, you know, whatever. Or actually, a lot of times it seems like the father doesn't want to be in the child's life because of the mother.
The mother,
exactly.
And
that to me means, okay, you got issues with her. First of all, you should have, you know, kind of took a second to kind of get to know the person before you actually make a baby.
condoms. I mean, with all due respect, Texas, birth control. You know, come on.
I'm telling you, Big Brother told me, my Big Brother, and I don't know what his relationship is with his son's mother, son's mother, but he told me at the time they did not get along. You know, she was like a little, I guess, one night stand kind of thing. I don't know, but but as you know, obviously when they had the child, they had to get closer to each other, and he couldn't stand her or her mother, and he always said, condom. Always use it, because you are stuck with this person in your life. You have to raise this child. And my brother is a great father. He's a great father, so he has to have those relationships with the mother. You know what I mean? But I was watching, you know, Chili has her show on VH1. I've only seen it one time in life. But this particular episode is a snore.
That's a boring show. I'm sorry. Can we talk about that just for like 10 seconds? Chili.
People said that's the best we've just gotten.
Go home, Chili. Go home. First of all, but hold on. Chili is gorgeous. Girl, you look good.
Oh, she looks great.
You look good.
She looks great. Now.
But just boring as a loaf of bread. Man, she don't know what she want, man. Girl, just go home. Just go home.
Right. Well, the episode I saw, it was with her father. Apparently, she didn't grow up with her father. She met him older as she got older, and but even at that point, he was never consistent. Like he would say he was coming to certain events and things, and he didn't come, whatnot. So on this episode, he was coming to her home, and she and her brother were going to kind of confront him. And they talked. Her therapist told her to write a letter to their father, and basically just let them know how he feels. And I like that because when you write a letter, you don't, you know, when you talk to someone face to face or in person or even on the phone, you may forget certain points you want to make.
Right.
You write a letter, you have time to think about what you want to say. But anyway, so she wrote a letter to her father, her brother did as well. And basically just said, you know, that you weren't there growing up. And in a sense, you're not here now because you don't live up to what you say you're going to do. And what he said to her was that he always knew they would be okay, and so he had to focus his attention on his children. He thought wouldn't, but he said going forward he would definitely do better. And she said, obviously that's left to be seen. But what do you feel about that?
Well, okay, all right. Chili has every right to be skeptical. I mean, this man, from what I've seen and learned of her relationship with her father, he really wasn't around. Because actually, I remember seeing an episode, this was back in like maybe 97, 98, 97, back when TLC was, you know, on top doing their thing.
Right.
And she was actually on an episode, I believe, of Sally Jesse Raphael or Jenny Jones, one of the shows.
Isn't that where she met him?
And that's where she met him, I believe, for the first time. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So,
wow.
I mean, she has every right to be skeptical. Personally, honestly, I don't think he's going to change. I mean, real talk, I don't think he's going to change. If it's been this long, and I don't want to, say she's 40, but I believe she's up there. You know,
like
she's close
38.
To 40.
I think she's like 38. Yeah.
So within all these years, and then she's had all this success and fame and things, and he still hasn't, been around, then he's not going to come around. I mean, I just don't see it happening. If I was her, she's done great these past 38, 40 years, whatever, of her life, keep on moving, Chili. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I do think that maybe part of her search for the perfect man, some of that might have to do with her relationship or lack thereof with her father.
She said that. She said that she has no, she can't trust the man completely because she didn't have that father there. So, definitely we'll continue to have the questions of the day on Facebook. And for those of you who faithfully answer our questions of the day each week, I want to thank you all because we definitely appreciate what you have to say.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Hey, I need to know about some PR. PR at work that EOTM doing, child. Tell me something about it, Sugar.
Okay, you mean PR work? Do you need PR?
Yeah, Sugar, that's what I'm saying.
EOTM Media Group is always looking to expand its roster of selected and talented clients. If you're interested in becoming a client,
yeah, I'm interested.
Please email pr@eotmradio.com or call 909-559-1763. That's our LA office. Or 678-548-9466 in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We also have an office in D.C., which is 646-713-9327. For a free consultation, please give us a call. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a call with all them numbers. Well, I will give you a call, and I sure appreciate it. All right, dear baby.
Thank you, and always remember, you will always need a publicist.
Now it's time to go into the Stevens playlist. Tonight our playlist will feature songs by Terrell King, and also the three songs he wrote for me he wrote and produced for my 2009 EP entitled Nightlife.
If you are interested in being featured on Stephen's list, please email us at thestephennightshow@gmail.com. That is thestephennightshow@gmail.com. And attach one or two songs, your bio, and one or two promotional pics. All songs must be edited for radio. Please, y'all, no cursing, none of that. No.
Clean.
and we look forward to hearing from you.
Well, the first song is Yours Truly. It's actually the full version of our theme song. It's the title track from the 2009 EP entitled Nightlife. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's playlist.
Trying to take my power. Away with low blows. What a punk, what a coward. so you can just keep talking that. Always on my grizzly, doing the best thing. Lay off the labels, caves in the pool like Timberland. They never drop the record, just get all the time I wasted. I know my God gonna pay them. Now the sex is gonna be easy, cause I've been through the world. Now my cable doing it, I'm chilling in my heart. Feet on the stage, cause I still got outreach. Y'all can still hear the music.
I got all my cookies from my phone.
R&B, so his ministry can't be real. One can only imagine what they're gonna say.
I got my kids in my pocket, so you can just keep talking that.
I've been gone for a minute, I have to get my mind right. I need some time to breathe.
Love you. God, give you all that you would do. Yeah.
hope you enjoyed Stephen's playlist. Want to thank everyone for tuning in. Definitely want to give a shout out to our listeners, who our faithful listeners who listen every week, and even our new listeners. Big shout out to King for being part of the show, and a big shout out to Miss Parker and Danero, who are both celebrating their birthdays this week, and I hope they're having a great time and being safe and not too crazy wherever they are. And also to Aaron for filling in. Did a great job, man. I definitely appreciate your insight and your taking the time out of your busy schedule to be part of the whole show tonight. So thank you for that.
Oh, man. Anytime, Stephen. Anytime, man. Thank you also, man. Thank you very much. And also, remember, America, please like us on Facebook, The Stephen Knight Show, and also follow us on Twitter, Stephen Knight Show, SHO. Let us know what you think about the show. Thank you.
Well, we had a little technical difficulties during the playlist, so we didn't get to play the full nightlife song. We're going to play that in our closing. But I want to thank you again, everyone, for tuning in. I thought we had a great conversation about the questions of the day regarding paternity tests and fathers and whatnot. And then Chike, you know, he always brings his A game, letting us know about the movies. I'll definitely be checking out some of the movies that he discusses. And
oh, yeah.
I know it's going to be a big weekend in college basketball.
I know you'll
be watching the games.
Yeah, and also wanted to mention also that it's actually going to be a big weekend also with the NBA Sunday.
Yeah.
Chicago, yeah. Miami, Sunday, 1 o'clock, people. Watch
oh.
it. Chicago, Miami,
okay.
yes. And also Lakers, Spurs, that's going to be a another great game. That's also Sunday at 3:30. Both games are on ABC, so check them out.
You can watch that earlier in the day, and then watch
Nene Leakes and Star Jones and all the drama with The Apprentice later on that
right.
night. Yeah.
Well, I just got word that we won't be able to play the full nightlife song, but we're gonna close out with the intro. If you want to hear the full song, you can go to my website. I can plug that while we have a few minutes.
Plug it, brother.
My website is www.stephenknightmusic.web.com. Again, that's stephenknightmusic.web.com, and you can hear the full nightlife song comes on when you go on the website. Terrell King, again, I have to thank him because he really did open doors with that song. I mean, that song has been on independent charts. It's number two in the independent charts, and it's really got me a lot of mileage in it.
He's talented, people. Yes.
He's very talented.
Very talented, man.
Well, I just got another message that we can play the song, that it's working great. So I'm going to stop stalling. I'm going to leave you all. Thanks again, Aaron. Happy birthday, Michelle and Janera, Terrell, Chike, everyone. Thank you again. Our listeners, thank you. And I hope you enjoy nightlife. Enjoy your nightlife. God bless you.
Just need to breathe, so I'm exhaling.